pages.
Well, hello, folks. I hear that you have a nice new tape recorder. And so I'll send you a tape and you can check it out. How's that? And hi to you, darling, also. I wanted to start out here by catching up to date on the last two letters I've received from you. I've got them dated April the 8th and April the 18th. So, first of all, I'll answer your letters, and then I'll tell you a little bit about what I've been doing here lately. It sounds like you had a real good time with Wayne and Mary, and I'm sure that you all made the rounds as usual. And I'm anxious to hear the tape that you sent. It sounds like it ought to be really hilarious, your amateur workings on the tape recorder, Darwin excluded, of course. Well, I see that grandmother seems to be getting along a little better, and I'm glad to hear that she's feeling better and is back in the home now. I might explain before I go any further that you'll probably hear a lot of background noises on my tape today. I'm cutting this out in front of my tent, and there's a lot of helicopter traffic and a lot of airplane traffic and people packing and everything. We're getting ready to move, and I'll explain that more in detail in a little bit. Anyway, back to your letter. I'm glad to hear that at least you, Mom, got to get down and hear Carol sing again. It's too bad the rest of you couldn't go. I know that it must have been a real good concert. Also, glad to hear you got down to hear the performance down at Lindsberg. At least I believe that's what you said you got down to see it. Real glad to hear that. Karen is planning to go back next semester to finish out. She just has one semester left, as does Jan. So they'll both be graduating, apparently, this spring, the way it looks right now. Correction on that. Actually, Karen won't be graduating till the middle of the... She'll have to take one more semester, so she'll be graduating next fall, I guess. Anyway, they both have one semester left at this point, and I know Jan finishes up this spring. He's still a little undecided as to what he's going to do, and he's also trying to figure out how he's going to work out his surface commitment. So he's thinking a little bit about volunteering for the Air Force. Don't know much about that right now. As you were saying, Dad, as a matter of fact, you're right. We don't go anywhere without taking our gun along, even if it's a short trip around here. However, we fortunately have not had to use them, and as a matter of fact, this has turned out to be a fairly quiet area. So far we've just been taking them along for the ride, but nevertheless, we always have our guns around ready to use if we have to. It sounds like spring weather is finally getting to Kansas. I noticed in the Stars and Stripes, which is our newspaper over here, that there were some record lows set your way recently, and it seemed kind of strange when I was sitting here in 90 degrees sweating and reading about the fact that Topeka had a temperature of about 28 or 30 or something like that. It's kind of chilly for this time of year, isn't it? Sure hope the frost didn't hurt any of the flowers or anything. I also did read about the snowstorm in Colorado, and I was rousing Joe a little bit about that. As usual, you know, anything goes in the spring in Colorado, and they really outdid themselves this year. No, I hadn't seen the new red carpet out at your studio there, darling. I'm looking forward to checking it out when I get back. I'm sure Daryl Dennis had a real big time out there. I know they were real interested in that type of thing, and I'll bet they had a lot of fun tinkering around with a new tape recorder you have, too. I hope they have a fairly easy access to one so that we can sort of trade some tapes around once in a while, because a lot of things I tell you, you can send on to them too if you'd like to. Well, I've looked back through your letters, and I think I've covered everything pretty well now that you mentioned in your last couple letters, so now I'll try and bring you up to date on some of the things that have been going on around here. I guess I'll start out by telling you I got in a few interesting strike missions here recently. We had a couple of what we call LZ preps. These are landing zone preparations, and what we do is bring some fighters in to drop bombs around the area in which we intend to land our helicopters, and then we strafe the landing zone itself. And the purpose of this is to, first of all, set off any mines that might be set in the area, also to check chase off any Charlies that might be waiting around to strafe our helicopters and our troops when we bring them in. And there's been very successful in the past. We haven't had any of our landing zones raided or because of leaks of intelligence or anything of this nature for quite some time now. And it's, of course, a very interesting mission for us as FAC, since we direct the airstrikes and bring the fighters in to run the strikes on these LZs. We also had a couple of situations where we had troops in conflict with the Viet Cong, and we were working in pretty close quarters, and this is our toughest job because we have to be real careful to put the bombs on the enemy and not our own troops. And this gets pretty ticklish when you're working in thick jungle and heavy underbrush like we have here. It worked out pretty well in both instances, and actually we haven't had too much excitement around here. It's mainly been just small skirmishes between a handful of troops at a time, and no large actions at all. It's been kind of a search and destroy type operation, in which we've run onto small raiding parties, but that's just about it. On one particular morning, I handled three sets of fighters in about 45 minutes, which keeps you pretty busy. I first had two B-57s that were carrying 1,000-pound bombs. Then I had three F-100s, and they were carrying 750 and also had strafing, 20mm. And then I finished up with a flight of three F-4Cs. We were using these in an area where we had suspected BC running around, and we're trying to chase the Viet Cong down into the lower parts of the mountains where our troops were. As I've pointed out before, it's a very frustrating job trying to run these guys down. They can hide so well in the woods, and they're very, very hard to find. They dig tunnels, and they can bury down into the bushes, and you can walk right by them within 5 feet and never see them. It's a real tough job, and you got to give the Army credit because they're the ones that are actually going in and doing the dirty work, flushing these guys out. It's you got to really have to give them credit when you watch them work over here. I went out for a couple of days and in the field with my troops just to get an appreciation for how hard a work it really is. And I stayed at what's called a CP, a command post, and learned a little bit about how they fire their artillery and how I can help them in adjusting their artillery, and also the difficulties in trying to spot troops on the ground in this terrain. It's I think this really helped, and the troops seemed to appreciate the fact that I would come out. They said they'd never had a FAC do this before, and they really appreciated that we're trying to help them, and so they're glad to see us come out and see what they're really doing in the field. As I explained, I'm assigned to the what's called the 2nd 502s, which is the battalion, and I am the battalion FAC. We have a FAC assigned to each of the battalions in the brigade here, the 101st Airborne. And this is the 1st Brigade of the 101st Airborne, as you've probably noticed, figured out by now from my address. The HHC on there stands for Headquarters and Headquarters Company. That's Army talk. We've had a couple of unfortunate incidents in the field here. One, and I believe I might have told you about, is where some guys were setting up an ambush, and they accidentally tripped off one of their own grenades, and it killed three of them. It was a real sad situation. And then last week we had a helicopter crash on a landing zone. We hit some trees on the way out. They work in some real tight areas over here, and the trees are pretty high, and they cut them pretty close sometimes, and this guy cut it a little too close and caught a tree, and it killed three more in that accident. So we seem to be having our troubles with ground accidents as well as getting shot by the enemy. It's bad enough we lose them that way. It's really bad when we lose them in accidents. The helicopters, I mentioned, have been doing an excellent job over here, and we just couldn't fight this type of war without them. They are doing a really magnificent job of supporting the troops. They haul them around. They haul their food in and out to them, their ammunition, and it keeps the Army generally mobile, which is something we really need when you're chasing an enemy as elusive as Charlie is. Actually, the real unsung hero of this war, I'd have to say, is just the plain old foot soldier, though, because he's the guy that's actually doing the dirty work and is the one who is directly responsible for chasing Charlie out and in most cases, getting our kills on the ground. The average soldier out here just has on, carries on his back whatever he can, a few sea rations and a poncho, and that's it. And if it rains, he just gets wet, and he sleeps in it, and it's just the way it goes. I've been flying around the areas when showers have been hitting these guys, and I really feel sorry for them down there, and I can just see them slogging through the mud. It's a real dirty business, believe me. You really have to give them credit. I've really come to admire these guys. A lot of them are just kids right out of high school. They've been through paratrooper training and just a little bit of boot camp and then thrown over here. A lot of them are no more than 18, 19 years old at the most. And they're kind of boy men, and they are growing up in a hurry over here, believe me. By the time their year's finished, you see quite a change in the guys that have been around and the ones that are just coming over here. It's a rather radical difference to me from the kids that I see running around with long hair and carrying their signs that I've noticed in the papers and I've seen myself in the United States. It's too bad they can't throw them out of the breach and bring them over here and put some sense out of their heads. I think once they get over here, and especially the ones here in the 101st, really appreciate what they're trying to do, and they're really a hard-fighting outfit and very dedicated to the cause. I find them all to be very highly motivated, and there's not a one of them that would even think that we were wasting our time over here, as so many seem to think back home. The 101st has always had a reputation for being one of the hardest fighting outfits, and I really believe it. They've got a reputation here of the VC actually have, we have uncovered some intelligence papers in which the VC have instructed their people to stay away from this brigade because the last time they fought these guys in any major battle, they really got their hind end whipped, and they've never run into the 101st again since. And these guys are really, they work hard and they play hard too. When they come back in from the field, there's some of the wildest parties you've ever seen around the brigade here. I mentioned earlier that we're getting ready to make a big move. It seems that we've pretty well swept this area out around northwest of Nutrang, and we are now being programmed to join Task Force Oregon, which you may have been reading a little in the papers. If not, you will in the near future. And this is a combination of the 25th Infantry, some Marine units, and the 101st Airborne. We are going to move up into an area in I Corps, which is up north of here, and we will be working south of Quang Nai. If you look on your Vietnam map, and if you don't have one, you better get one, because I keep mentioning all these places. Time out for an airplane. That's one of the many, many Huey helicopters around here. Here comes another one. We just had a whole bunch of helicopters fly over, about nine of them. They usually travel in sets of nine when they're going out to pick up troops, which is what they're doing now. As I explained, we're getting ready to move, so they're bringing all the battalions back in from the field, and of course they do it all by helicopter. This is a rather big undertaking when you stop to think about it, because each battalion has well over 500 men in it. And it's quite an undertaking to airlift all these people from the field, especially when they're 20 or 30 minutes from here. I don't remember exactly where I left off before, but anyway, we're about to move from this area up into an area called Duck Pho. It's just spelled D-U-C-P-H-O. This area is located south of Quang Nai, and they have a little airstrip there that's being improved so it can handle C-130s. Most of the brigade is going down to the coast to Nutrang by convoy and then be hauled up there by ship in what's called LSDs, or landing ship docks. We'll be flying up, taking our airplanes along, and we'll get up there a little ahead of the brigade and get our shop set up. It looks like we're going to get into a lot of activity up there. According to intelligence reports, there's a whole NVA division located in that area. I was talking to a couple of folks that with the 101st, correction, with the 1st Air Cavalry, last week, and they were telling me that they'd had a lot of activity up there, including some pretty big guns. So sounds like we're going to get in on a little fireworks by chance. It looks like we'll be around here for two or three more days, mainly just getting reorganized and getting the battalions cleaned up and all of our equipment straightened out. And then we'll be moving out next week sometime for this northern area. It'll probably be a week before we really get in action up there again. It takes a little while, though it's pretty amazing how they can move this large of a group so fast. These guys can really break camp and move in a hurry, which is one of their big advantages. The guys are starting to pour into the camp now from all around, and it's really starting to become a beehive of activity around here with dirty clothes and all worn out equipment laying around everywhere. It's quite a sight to see all this stuff as these guys come in from the field. Some of them are just filthy dirty from living in the field with bare minimums for about the last two or three weeks. Needless to say, these guys are really glad to get in and get a shower and a cold beer, and I can't blame them a bit. I know what they've been going through out there. Well, it looks like this particular part of my tape is about to run out, so I'll get ready here to flip over to the other side and carry on with my narrative here. We'll see you in a minute. Yeah, I still got another minute, so I'll press on here. We've been marking our tents and all our stuff so that we can be ready to move on very short notice. We take our own Jeep and we have a trailer of our own, and we load all of our stuff on it. And then my airmen will probably drive it down to the coast along with the Army, and I'll fly one of our airplanes up to our new location. This way we keep our stuff together and help protect it also, since we have some pretty expensive equipment, including about $100,000 worth of radios on our Jeep, so we have to watch it pretty close. Well, I'll end this tape on this end right now.